The experts. Call toll free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Welcome to The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-sized companies. We kind of alternate different industries and geographic locations. And so, you know, one week there might be a retailer from Singapore that's talking about franchising, and the next week it's a manufacturer from Kansas City talking about acquisitions. I'm loving the journey. This is the fifth year of my program, and this is one of those tribute shows that I do every once in a while. I'll stick in a solo show and kind of do a retrospective, thinking about some of the wisdom that people on the radio show have been saying. And I've been in business for, 38 years now. I know, I don't sound like I'm that old, but and I don't feel that old. I'm like, I think specializing in mid-sized clients, you know, that are looking for rapid growth, my clients are the ones that want to be on the Inc. 500. I think it keeps you young. What can I tell you? So I'm going to share some of my observations around the topic of leveraging, oh, maybe I won't say it, leverage your strengths. Because when I went back over a number of the guests and looked over the, you know, my client base and which ones have really made it and are exciting and renew themselves and recessions just don't bother them, they had that one thing in common. They were able to find what their primary strengths were, leverage those, and keep going. So let's start with, wait a minute, that's not so easy. I find that there's an awful lot of companies, people that are very bright and energetic, you know, wanting to help their customers. Their biggest problem is they have too many ideas. And they brag about being opportunity-driven, and if some cool thing comes up, and they jump on it. And then what happens is they're all over the place, and they're trying to be everything to everybody. And if everything's important, nothing's important. You know, we've all been there. And particularly in a recession, one of the things that happens is that if the sales pipeline dries up, you start getting tempted to accept any project that comes in and run around trying to deliver value. The expectations go up and up and up. Your profitability goes down, 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 and you lose your center. So being able to leverage your strengths and know what your strengths truly are becomes probably the most important skill that you can have during, you know, kind of uncertain economic times. So I'm going to give you a whole series of examples. And I'm going to refer to the specific radio shows if they were guests. So you can go back into the archives and go to my website at www.thegrowthstrategist.com. Download a show, you know, whether or not it's from this year or last year. If you have any trouble, tell me. Occasionally the website has some difficulties at voiceamerica.com. So if you have any issues with that, you just let me know. Let me give you an example. I'm going to start with an industry where, you know, I didn't expect I was going to have a specialization 30 years ago, let me tell you. Because I didn't grow up in construction and didn't have that background. But distributors, you know, wholesalers recognize that, you know, hard work pays off and directness pays off and honesty pays off. It's a relationship business. It's not just about, you know, the warehouse and the trucks and the stuff. It's the people being able to listen to what their customers want, being willing to hustle and deliver what's needed and take the responsibility. They, you know, this, the people who are in distribution accept responsibility. They do. For you to be a hub, for you to keep things moving, for you to get it there on time, to anticipate what your customers need, to get ahead of them so that you're not just waiting for an order and then stumbling on it or tripping over your inventory because you're trying to guess what they want, you really have to be good listeners and you have to be willing to work and be responsive. So I guess what's happened over the years is that type of person respects that I'm like that, and I've been a hub that's made things happen for my clients, and I respect what they're doing. I don't care how long I did or didn't go to college. You watch the really good wholesalers. You've just never seen as much work as you do through that kind of a group. So and there's been over 100 construction-related service product and distribution companies in my client mix. And I just want to talk about three of them for a moment because I think they learned how to leverage their strengths. Because how do you differentiate yourself if I just said the primary thing that happens in wholesale is that you have to work really hard, you have to know how to listen, you have to get ahead of your customers, yada, yada. Well, if that's what they all need, how do you be different? Western Extra Light is in Kansas City. They are a family-owned business. They had like a dozen different branches. They have a secondary hub in St. Louis. The Eisenbergs are very, very bright. Tom and John are twin brothers, and they are sons of a man who started the business, you know, back in, you know, the World War II kind of time frame. This is a family-owned business in the good sense of it, where it has that stewardship model, not the dysfunction that you see in some family businesses where basically, you know, the people don't work and it's a job just to make sure that the lazy sister who doesn't really want to work has some income. Nothing like that. Nothing like that at Western Extra Light. These are good people. They spend the time investing in things like ISO certification long before it was popular or necessary or demanded by the customers. They would spend the time, you know, making sure that they had barcoding and a new approach to the warehouse before it was demanded by the customers. They're the type that would have the Ford account and the big company's accounts because they would take the time to make sure an account manager would be there. So their strength, in my opinion, is not just the product and not just, you know, that they have a functioning warehouse, they have good trucks at their location, yada, yada, yada. I think it's the forward thinking. I think it's their intelligence. I think it's their stewardship, their long-term view. I'd be shocked and very saddened if a Western Extra Light wasn't there 50 years from now. Something, you know, really would have gone wrong and changed in this business. Now, how did they find that it's not the trucks, it's not the buildings, it's not the inventory, it's not their technology? Those are the result of who they are. And it isn't just the owners. It is, you know, the way they would do an executive team meeting. It's that they would have a training session explaining return on total assets and the math to all of the managers. And it affects who they require. It affects who they train. It affects who they hire. Some of it was a mirror coming back to them, showing them, you know, how bright they are and that it's a good thing and they can leverage it and that, you know, there's an excitement about being in it for the long run. Okay, take a second one. Granite City Electric, same industry, different market. They're up in New England, hub city around, you know, the Boston area. You know, if you're from New England, you know the Granite City is one of the phrases used for describing the Boston area, Quincy, for example. That is a very fast-growing business. It is a family-owned business as well. They were more focused on, in the previous couple of generations, on the true relationships with the customers, friends, loyalty. I mean, these are the people that would give extra favors for friends. When new generation came into running the business, the idea of the relationships being expanded beyond to different kinds of companies, different kinds of people, different geographies, but it was very relationship-driven. They're just, you know, on the surface, it looks they're just as bright as the Eisenbergs. That's not what I'm saying. But the idea that they can develop friendships, that they can really have this energy, there's a fun. The energy is the word that I can think of. They're driven. The people of Granite City Electric are driven to do well, to excel, to do something first, to do something best. They're competitive. It's not coincidental that they have this big train, night train look symbol up on the what do they call it, a billboard at Red Sox Stadium. And they would be a sponsor of a winning baseball team. That fits. You follow it? So seeing your strengths as competitive, as, you know, picking your friends and taking them with you on your journey to success, on you know, making sure that your customers are winning accounts. It's not just about light bulbs, is it? It's partnering with the customers so they win accounts and they stay alive. And this is the kind of aggressive company that would do strategic alliances and would have the Red Sox, you know, as a partner. Now, think about that. Those are two excellent companies, same industry. They're both really wonderful, but the core strengths, one of that long-term legacy brightness, and being ahead, there's a quietness to that. And with Granite City Electric, to me, there's an energy. They're both great. They do well. I've been delighted to help them both. But, boy, was it important for each one to have that mirror that showed them. What do they have that's truly distinctive? Take a third one. Capital Light and Supply is now Rexel. They're in New England. Around Hartford is where they're headquartered. They have, you know, I don't even know how many branches they have now. I should check, because with the Rexel acquisition, it's a lot. They're basically Rexel in New England. They had the same kind of hustle. There's an intensity. There's a demand to do it right. These are the kind of people that would make sure that their manufacturers were involved in the marketing program and that it was organized so that everybody had a win-win. This is a disciplined group. This is an intense group. They have a culture of intensity. Now, that's not the same as energy, is it? It's subtle. And one of the things that's important for this group and how it grew was to really be selective about the people that they put on in leadership positions. It's a cultural. They lead with a culture. So they grew organically because it was easier, it was more important, and they could have more control, frankly, if they had homegrown leaders. So they didn't do as many acquisitions as a lot of their other counterparts. In fact, Granite City Electric could use some acquisitions in its growth because they could spot energy when it was out there, and they knew how to harness energy and enjoy it. Not everybody enjoys energy. It can become a loose cannon. With Capital Light, that became Rexel, it was around control. It was around doing it well and intensity, and not everybody is going to want that culture. But if you fit it and you can excel in it, you can be comfortable with it, and your customers do well, and you make money, and you can grow. So the point of this is, if you have a mirror that shows back, it's not just the trucks, it's not just the logo, it's not just the light bulbs, it's not just the building, is it? It is, how do you do business? What is your strength? Is it control? Is it energy? Is it wisdom? You may want to be all of them, but then you don't see hints about should you acquire. Should you do it organically? Should you sponsor a big sports team? Those are big decisions that project what you feel your strengths are that you're leveraging. If you're not centered enough to know what your primary strengths are, you make bad decisions about things like sponsorship. So I'm going to give you a couple more examples. Hear the difference? Three wonderful companies. Subtle differences in strengths were. This is The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjoy Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjoy Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now. Toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about how do you identify what your strengths are. People hear the phrase, leverage your strengths. Yeah, well, sometimes it's your production ability, sometimes it's your marketing ability, sometimes it's your, you know, ability to produce, you know, but I think one of the things I'm noticing is it's deeper than that. Sometimes it's your ability to have a really strong culture. Other times it's your ability to project the future and get ahead of your customers. It's broader than just, you know, one functional area of the business. I'm going to pick a few people that have been on the radio program. I'm looking at the list from last year. And play this again so that you can catch the reference points and go download some of these shows. These are people that I felt are particularly centered about who they are and what their business is good at, and they've leveraged strengths. Now, the names of the shows are different, but I got to tell you, you know, what it all goes back to is they knew how to leverage strengths. So if this is of interest to you, go back to these shows. Dan Nagara of Village Profile appeared on the January 22nd show in 2008. Now, they were talking about how do you really tie your growth strategies to the missions of your customers. Just the title of the show tells you that they know what their strength is. Their strength is getting into the minds of the customers, getting into the future of where they're headed, and tailoring their product. I mean, they do, you know, they do Chamber of Commerce, you know, newspapers and newsletters and magazines and online. They're a publishing kind of company. Okay. They really get into the minds of the customers to know exactly how to do that so that they have a tailored product. John Younger of Ocolo in February 5th of 2008 was talking about how do you make a commitment to be a market leader? Doesn't matter what your product is, does it? Are you, by personality, is the team at the top of the organization leadership-oriented, ahead of everybody else, wanting to be cutting-edge, willing to live with a glass house and have people watch them? Not everybody is. It doesn't matter what your product is. Does your company have the mindset of a leader? And if they don't, if you have a top group that wants to be leaders and everybody else are followers and scared and you didn't hire well enough, you didn't follow through with what your strength was at the top, you can be pretty frustrated. Next one, Lori Gordon of M&M Marblestone Group. She was talking about succession in a professional service firm. You got to be centered about what your strengths are to even figure out who's next. The implications of the big decisions about whether or not you're centered. Roy Fazio talked on March 25th, 2008. He is one of the three owners of Protocol Staffing. He talked about growing your business through organic growth. Now, I find in an awful lot of people who are truly centered about their primary strengths, they have a strong opinion about organic versus acquisitions. Now, my opinion is if they've gotten burned on some acquisitions, it's because they weren't selective enough. They weren't careful enough about the process to integrate it into what they felt their strength was. You got to be very selective with your acquisitions if you lead from culture. But I find they're very opinionated about it. Marcy LeCastro of Tatum Organization, it's another staffing-related company, but for high-level professionals and accountants, et cetera. She talked on May 13th, 2008, on growing your business through equity partners. They're excited about the fact that they can attract true talent. They have buy into the field. and they're not treating each other as peons. You know, they all have an equity stake, and they really lifted the growth of Tatum. You got to be centered to do that. I could list several people, but I want to highlight. There was a series of programs last year on how progressive companies think. How do they grow despite the odds? And progressive thinking is one of those words where you don't know how to define it, but you know it when you hear it. So on July 22nd, Ian Percy and Doc Hoffman talked about how they're growing a new internet business, and how Ian Percy, just as a consultant, he only works with progressive thinking companies. They're not going to like him if they're not progressive thinking. Jim Cathcart talked on August 5th about what progressive thinking companies are doing now, despite the odds. He talked about his client base. This is the first two consultants that I put on the radio show in 5 years. Michael Kloss of Splash Life talked on August 12th on how to select the best business model for your new product. You get the idea? There's several people. I want you to go back to previous radio programs. Listen with the ear for what is the strength they were leveraging. It's not the punchline of whether or not it was an acquisition or a specialization or if it was geographic expansion. Those decisions flow from what are your primary strengths. Okay, now let me try another group of people that I've dealt with. I'm going to deal with some banks. You know, I haven't been a specialist in banks, but over the years it's been about a dozen that I've worked with, and I have a few right now that I'm working with. And isn't it funny? Who would have thought during a recession that was so, you know, driven by problems in the financial institutions, you know, if 6 months ago or a year ago you said to me I was going to have several banks as clients, I don't know if I would have guessed it. I knew the financial markets were in trouble, and I guess I wasn't asking myself the primary question of where would they go. And they do go to growth strategists, you know, because the community banks in particular, they're not the ones that did this problem. They didn't move the bad paper. They didn't do the subprime mortgages. They've been making very consistent loan decisions, and they're safer than what's going on Wall Street, and they're not waiting for a government bailout. So it's pretty admirable. And some folks are reconsidering, you know, they're pulling their money out of some of these big guys that are tied up in government money and making bad decisions and giving bonuses where they're not deserved. And rightfully so, we want our money to be put where it's safer, smarter, and we're not rewarding bad behavior. So surprise, surprise, some community banks are doing well. All right, now let me give you two or three of them, and I want you to think about how did they find their strengths. Wachovia is now Wells Fargo, and they were, you know, First Union. And I thought one of the ways that you could tell that they knew who they were, that First Union and Wells Fargo and Wachovia knew who they were, was in the negotiations of the name. Think about it. A large corporation, First Union, was larger than Wachovia, but they knew to take a softer name. Wachovia's reputation was more personal. It had more warmth. It had the connection between the community. First Union's reputation, it might not have been deserved, but you know, as some of the studies showed, that there was a cold transactional feel to the First Union organization. And that was a brilliant move to take on the name of Wachovia. All right, what strengths are involved when you even consider a name change? It's like a reverse name change. There is an understanding that you better make it current, you better make it relate to what the customers need, what the customers want, even if it's something as traumatic as changing your own name. There's an identification, there's an attachment. You'd swear, you know, the name of the company is somebody's child when they're at that executive level. And so I can imagine the first person who suggested, why don't we change the name of the bigger bank to the smaller bank? I can just imagine. Think about what that took. I don't think it's surprising that Wells Fargo is the acquirer with this, even though right now some things are accelerated and forced and artificially, you know, combined. I think it's a good choice, and I think it's going to do well. Now let's get more small. One of the organizations I'd like to, you know, focus on, Tri-State Capital Bank is the fastest growing bank in the privately held bank in the United States. Wow. They're fast tracking in a very short period of time to $2-3 billion in assets and, you know, to be available for loans. That is just phenomenal. And one of the ways they're doing that is that they've really turned the business model on its ear. They said, we're not going to have branches, but we're going to have relationships. We're going to be lead with business loans, good ones. And high value, you know, the high net worth individuals, mid-sized companies, and they've recruited these star bankers that used to run some of the community banks that used to be in corporations like First Union, Wachovia, Core States, Bank One, you know, clients of mine. The bankers that they're leading with are really bright, very capable. They are, you know, aggressive. they know what they're doing, and they're sitting on the phone and they're making meetings, and you know they don't need the building because you know with technology you can be taking care of money without having all kinds of accoutrement. You don't have to have marble pillars to be managing money correctly. Now it's not an internet bank; it's not you know just online banking. This is relationship banking, and this is the real deal. Okay, now think about what was the strength that they leveraged. They decided that they were going to lead with truly bright, you know, the capable, the senior people, loan officers, and they're going to cherry pick from key places, and that's what's going to be their winning formula. Yep, they understand money. Yes, they understand banking. Yes, I get that. But not everybody commits to hiring A players, and they did. Their strength is the A players. I mean, my friend Tom Bracken is over the New Jersey element of Tri-State Capital, and this guy knows what he's doing. I mean, that's why they're going to do fine. Now, he's always been a talent magnet. I think he's probably going to have a number of other really good people working for him if he doesn't already. But is your organization truly committed to only A players? Most aren't. Point Bank is a client of mine. They're in Texas. And it's a family-owned business. It's over 100 years old. It's like 120 years old, and they're continuing to grow. God bless them. And the CEO and chairman of the board, Raymond David, you know, he took over in 1981 when they had a, you know, just one branch, and he's grown that thing to 10 different branches. Now, you know, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, I guess it is, his son, Ray, took over as president, and so now Raymond is CEO and chairman of the board, and their growth has accelerated. Now, what are they doing that other banks don't do? They have this kind of intense focus on the customers, and you think every bank does, but they don't. And they've been very conservative in their loans. They've been safe. They've been careful. And that's an attribute. And it sounds funny, you know, conservatism is an attribute. Well, it is when it comes to your money. You know, the point is there is a better way to have, you know, your money managed. Now, think of how different those two organizations are. One has 10 branches, and, you know, the place is important. They have the loan officers. They have the, you know, what they call, I call them the thoroughbreds. They have their thoroughbreds out there, you know, doing loans. But they're not trying to get rid of the branches. They're not trying to change the model. But they're both really very effective. Okay, what's the strength they are leveraging? Well, for a while, it was the family name. For a while, it was a tone with the customers. There is a connection with the community. I don't think this group is going to be, you know, hopscotching across and suddenly opening a branch in Oklahoma. What is the strength that you're leveraging? I mean, they really, really, really know Denton County. Sun National Bank, let's take them. $3.5 billion bank. I don't remember exactly how many branches they have in New Jersey, but they, you know, they're becoming really quickly becoming the business bank for New Jersey. That's a major decision. They're up against, you know, places like Commerce Bank, which had said that it was the most convenient bank. Well, the Commerce sold to TD, so now TD is the most convenient bank. What's your strength? Convenience, knowledge of the community, cutting edge, A players. See, it doesn't matter that the industry. But do you know what your primary strength is? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. We'll be right back.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Now, Mrs. Johnson, before we close on your mortgage loan, I want to make sure you remember Mike.
Hi. You can trust me. I'm African-American, just like you.
So, here's the low monthly payments and interest rates we promised, and here's where they triple.
The rest of this stuff is just here to make sure that we get your house when you can't pay us back.
What a lovely house.
Predatory lenders are never this easy to spot. Call us at 866-222-FAIR and protect yourself with the facts. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Fair Housing Alliance and the Ad Council.
Technology is changing the way we live our lives and how we do business. On CIO Talk Radio, we talk about the benefits of technology and the great things it allows us to do, as well as its risks. Heard every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, Sunjo Gall interviews business leaders and other experts that are shaping the way we use technology. To learn more about the show, visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Keep up with the changing world of technology and listen to CIO Talk Radio with Sunjo Gall. Listen in every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific, right here on Voice America Business.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today I'm talking about how do you leverage your strengths, particularly during a recession. And, you know, you hear that phrase, but that process of what are your real strengths is hard for some folks. All right, now here's one of the things to do. If you have a strategic planning session or you have an executive session and you're trying to go through this and really refine what your brand is, what is your brand promise, you're going to put up on the wall or, you know, on your computers, I can just see you, you're going to put up some phrases. We're a one-stop shop. We have high quality. We have excellent customer service. Okay, you list all those things, cross them all out. At this point, they're all being expected. Everybody else has them. They don't have any meaning. It's like the word communication. It doesn't mean anything. Do you know whether or not it's a telecommunications company or a product promotion business or a marketing firm or just somebody that knows how to do copywriting? It doesn't matter. You know, you're leveraging your strengths is going to be deeper than that, and it's going to be a business process, almost like a personality. I'll give you an example. On the February 24th show, Scott Kozowski. Okay, now he's currently the chairman of the board of iThrive. All right, what's his leverage? What's the strength that he leverages and his partner leverage? The show was about how do you build a company to sell. Their capability, their strength is identifying a product that's needed in the marketplace, developing it, but they already select who the buyer is going to be before they get going too far. Right from the beginning, they are positioning it in their head. How big does this business need to be? Who's going to be buying this from us in a 3 to 5 year window? They ramp up. They know they're going to be getting out of their own way. They can make a lot of money doing it. They don't try to become the maintenance level of the company. You see it, that mindset of having where is this business going? How do you build value? How do you identify a product that needs to be developed and not get so lost in minutia that you can't do it? They've done this 4 times, and they're going to have a 5th and a 6th. You know they are. All right, Sherman Lewis's show on March 3rd, he talked about diversify or die. Well, what their strength is, they truly understand the financial machinations of a business. They can look at a balance sheet and see where somebody's bleeding money. They can figure out how to turn a gas station or a restaurant or a fast food store into profit. They understand rental properties. It's not just that they're good at real estate or stores. They understand the balance sheet. They understand the income statement. And so they've ended up with a combination. They're quickly going to the $125 million mark pretty fast. I mean, it's not accidental. This guy's gotten the National Urban League giving him the award as Entrepreneur of the Year for 2008. Okay, they're really good at evaluating opportunities, dealing with the operational excellence. Operational excellence. They develop this, they understand it, and it's not surprising they can rapidly grow to the stage that they're at. Okay, is your business good at the financial analysis and operational excellence? You could diversify to protect yourself against, you know, the problems of a recession if you really were excellent at that. If you look like you're close to being good at operational excellence, okay, what's missing? Is there a key hire that's missing? Is there follow-through and commitment to truly make yourself excellent at it? Is there some courses or seminars or graduate degrees that your key people need to drill deeper? Are you just good but you're not great, as Jim Collins would say? You know, you can. There's a lot of companies out there that are good at a number of things, but it doesn't add up to having the depth and the resilience and the presence and the reputation for what they truly excelled at. So listen to Sherman Lewis's show on March 3rd again and see if you can hear what does somebody who's totally centered around financial acumen and operational excellence sound like when they're evaluating opportunities. Okay, Terry O'Connor talked on March 10th, and she's over a real estate company. And what's interesting about her is the journey over a period of time of being a solo real estate person. But the thing that's got her centered is that she really felt that there is a better way for people to be buying homes, and she understands the area. That culture of there is a better way, they're always quietly looking for the better way, has led to who she hires, whether or not it's a relative or not. It's led to who she brings on to create multiple offices. She's now got four offices. It's subtle. She's softer. But, you know, the depth of, okay, we're always looking for a slightly better way. We're not in a hurry. It's not only about the money. It's about let's find a better way for our customers. Hear it? Are you in deep inside truly committed to finding a better way for your customers, or is it just language? In Terry's case, it's not just language. She means it. You follow the pattern. What you're looking for is something deeper. All right, now I'm going to go to some of my more well-known clients for examples, because sometimes, I mean, if you're listening to something like a Terry Lewis Realty of, you know, four branches in New Jersey, if you're in, you know, Brazil, you could care less about that. Let me give you something bigger. All right, H&R Block's been a client of mine. Time Magazine, Scott Paper, Verizon, Nortel, U.S. Honda, Icon Corporation, Kodak, AT&T, Certainty, GAF, Knoll, Caesars Resorts, Horizon Blue Cross Blue Shield, U.S. Home, AMF, SBC, which is a very large telephone company, et cetera, et cetera. You see this? I mean, I've been with some big companies now. What are they doing that, you know, these other companies I'm talking about, and you as guests and listeners of the show, we're in the mid-size. Let me talk about some of these big guys and what they've done, because you might have seen it on their ads. Take an H&R Block. Okay, they could have gotten lost in we do accounting. It's above bookkeeping, but it's below CPA, and everybody knows that. And they truly know how to do taxes for non-complicated situations. They do. If you have something totally complicated and, you know, a big, great big company and lots of holdings and such, you're not going to be the type that's inclined to go over to H&R Block and get somebody who's been trained over the last 6-7 weeks to do your taxes. The high-risk people don't go to them. They get that. But, you know, they're better. Their mindset is they're better than TurboTax. They're better than you doing it on your own. You can get better refunds from them because their training is superior than you and I being busy and preoccupied and distracted and missing opportunities. Now, so their strength is their ability to train people. Their strength is their ability to take bright people who are, you know, comfortable with numbers, need some extra money themselves, need some extra work each year, and get them up to speed. And what's wonderful about that, here's the irony, the tax code changes often enough that the fact that they're able to train people quickly and get them up to speed on new things is an advantage. So now the disadvantage of the tax code changing becomes an advantage for them, because now they're going to be able to find you deductions and find you ways to save and find you ways to not give too much taxes away to the government inadvertently because you didn't have time to get trained and read through all the piles of stuff. Isn't that cool? They discovered that one of their real strengths is training. Okay, enough so that they have enough confidence. Look at their ads. That they can say, you want to get your refund early? Rapid refund. Talk about commitment and aggressive marketing. And they have some other things that they're doing. So they can compete against other people who are loading up to do, you know, tax accounting, TurboTax, et cetera, et cetera. They come right out and say how much more refund people get from using them. Now, pause. See, it's not your industry. Is your company, that is one of the real strengths of your business, your capacity to get people up to speed quickly, your orientation, your training, your flexibility, so that if the rules change, the laws change, the context changed, you could get a group of people up to speed quickly, deploy them fast. If that's the case, then you could think about geographic expansion. You could think about multiple locations. You could think about franchising. Pause for a second. You may not think that you're in taxes, but could you take the approach that H&R Block used for what you do? I've been working with some marketing-related companies that didn't realize they had a chance to become like the H&R Block of their industry. But if they have a methodology, they have a really good training program, they can spot talent, you know, get in, out in flexible space, deploy, pay well, follow through, why not? Let's take another one. Time Magazine has a wonderful reputation, I mean, obviously, for the news and their ability to hit it every week. They noticed that their capabilities were the machines, the printing machines, all the things that could do, the writers, the graphic artist, and that they could find a way to leverage it. Another strength they had was just their sheer capability, the infrastructure, the building, they could leverage the capital investment. They created custom publishing as a division. So large corporations that want to have a weekly newspaper, that want to have a magazine, you know, like Sony Corporation, that wanted to have a really killer, you know, in-your-face magazine. They don't want to just have a brochure. If you're a Sony Corporation, you don't want just another brochure. Large corporations that wanted to sell their product in a very visible, glitzy way. They don't want to just put the product. They want to have information. They could leverage Time Magazine's depth of all the research they've done and the writers with all their knowledge and their capabilities and and all the different photographs that are available at Time Magazine. Think about this. What a bright thing to do for them to create the custom publishing division. I was very impressed with the people that work there. Okay, pause. Think about your organization. You have machines. You have capabilities that are aimed toward one type of customer, and you may be producing something like Time Magazine on a weekly basis. All right. Is there a time at night when those machines aren't being used? Is there another type of customer that could benefit from the knowledge of your brilliant workers? Do you have archives of something equivalent to the photos and the knowledge and the stories and the writing that Time Magazine has? Okay, you may not think you do, but if you have a database, if you have previous marketing campaigns, if you have software, another application of what you've done for other people may be more possible than you think. You get a line of business person over it to start looking at a different target market. I have seen people rent property that they had, you know, dormant and nobody renting it. I've seen folks create another division that has leveraged their vehicles. I've seen people create another division that has brought in folks to, you know, rework their database. I've seen folks that have radio shows that turn them into product and sell them. Are you leveraging what might be sitting there? And it's just because somebody else isn't driving it in a different direction, you're not making money on it. Okay, let that sink in. Could you be the equivalent of Time Custom Publishing? This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be right back, and I'll go right back to how do you spot some of the strengths that you need to leverage.
The market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtain growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Eldonna Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ELDONNA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
Should I stay where I am and wait for you? Or go to Grandma's house since it's closer?
Shouldn't we pick a place for me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of a terrorist attack.
Mom, if you're not home,
should we go to the neighbor's house?
How do we keep in touch with each other if the phones don't work?
Should I be worried how we all get home?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now. Brought to you by Waste Management. Every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Eldonna Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Eldonna Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Eldonna Ambler. And I want to give you some contact information to get some feedback from you and some suggestions for future guests and some topics you want us to cover. In the United States, the toll-free number is 1-888-ALDONNA. I own multiple companies, so I ended up with too many telephone numbers. So if you're dealing directly with me, that's the number that you should use. And email-wise, it's easy to get me if you remember my name, Eldonna, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R, .com. And I'd love to hear from you. Now, I want to go back to today. We're talking about leveraging your strengths. And I just find some people get so lost in this. You know, they go crazy and don't follow through. You know, they'll stay at a superficial level and then not drill deep and follow through. I'll give you an example of a company that did it well. Sobel & Company is a regional accounting firm. That's a tough business, you know. All right, here we go again. You have to get past the superficial. On the surface, it looks like you're expecting them to understand how to do taxes. No duh. You expect them to be able to, you know, analyze the P&Ls and the balance sheets and provide some advice, and they need to have capabilities all the way from the bookkeeping level to, you know, financial analysis. Yeah. Okay. Now, what would differentiate one of them versus, you know, the three or four other big regional accounting firms in the metropolitan area? Well, one of them, things that they do, is they would like to be known as that they could go deep. And with Sarbanes-Oxley and the requirements for the boards of directors, and especially now, look at it's probably going to happen even more now, that mid-sized companies are going to have to look at this because, you know, somebody wasn't watching. The boards weren't doing their fiduciary responsibility. The companies that rate boards I don't know what they were doing. I'm speechless. I don't even know how to describe what was missing. Think about it. They got Lehman and Brothers got an excellent rating the day before they went completely under. Hello? You know, I keep wondering, where was the board and where were the evaluation companies? Where's the SEC that's happening? So boards of directors are truly going to need more and more help. And I think investor relations, investor advocacy groups, I mean, people are going to want the investors to have more say. They're not going to be sitting back carefully, you know, letting the boards just, you know, the old boy network just say yes, 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 and pad their pockets. You and I as investors, people that are ponying up money for a little bit of stock, are going to want to have more transparency in this process. Now, back to Sobel and Company, they're not going to sit on their hands either. So they create a special department that has training and more intense than most accounting firms. You know, they've brought in some talent. They've drilled deeper for them to, you know, help boards become, you know, have much more fiduciary responsibility, know what they're doing. Now, you know, they did it before they're asked. And that's one of the things that happens when you truly leverage your strengths is you recognize what you're good at. You will develop it. You're going to innovate. You're going to, you know, go further. And by the time some people, you know, it's mandated or by the time they say, you know, I wonder where I need to go, you have been developing it, and, of course, you're there. Plus, if you go far enough, you're going to be marketing it so everybody knows you're the source. You know, you're the place to go. So I don't think it's surprising that Sobel & Company is the one that has this developed further than some of their competitors, at least in the metropolitan area. And then there's a promotion for them. I mean, it's a, you know, it's an unabashed recommendation if you really do want to have your board develop and get further and know what it's doing. You would look for which, you know, regional accounting firm has been looking at this long enough that they don't have to practice on you. You want an accounting practice, but you don't want them practicing on you as a client. Get it? Okay, so what now? Let's apply this to you. Especially in a recession, some people are taking their money out of innovation. They're taking it out of research and development, out of marketing. Well, why? It's the opposite, that this is a time that maybe you're not as busy providing services and products to your customers because you didn't have as much sales. And where could it be applied? To leverage your strengths. What is something that your customers are truly struggling with? Where is the organization going? Where is the world going? Where is your, you know, the United States, other countries? What are they dealing with? What's a trend that you can be drilling deeper, a strength that you have that you need to go further? It took me the longest time for me to realize, you know, we do these contracts that were about, you know, exactly what the minutia of the strategic plan was, or we didn't ever spell out the number of pages of the plan, but it felt, you know, like we were features, features, features. And ironically, it took me the longest time to see that the primary thing that we sell is that the executives of an organization stay centered. When they go for accelerated growth, they can be centered during the process while they're growing. And, you know, because people sometimes were centered when they started their companies. They're centered when they're on, you know, when they're on a roll. But you go for accelerated growth and you lose your center. I mean, you can be all over the place. And that's what we use, because if the top group is centered, they can manage money, they can do the marketing, they can hire people, they can make decisions. And they must stay centered. It's a new center. It's how do they adjust to change. But the real result of the work that we do is around keeping an executive group centered. That was very freeing to know. You know, why would you need a growth strategist? Why would you need a company that knows how to do accelerated growth with sustained profitability? All those kind of phrases were around, if you want to stay centered when you go for growth, this is the company that knows how to do it. I wish it didn't take us so long to discover it, but that's why I have such an opinion about, all right, are you centered? Do you know what your strengths are? Do you know which strengths you're leveraging so you can save some time, save some money, and have this momentum that develops because you chose something well that you were clearly good at, that's different from the competition, that gives you the lift, that sets you apart, and it's not so hard to get media attention. You will attract people. And one of the things I'd like you to think about, instead of running around trying to accept what, you know, whatever customers you can get during this kind of time frame, it's just the opposite. What's the sweet spot? What are the, if you sell business to business, most of my clients are B2B. If you sell business to business, who are the 50 companies that you truly want as clients? It's amazing. You can be a multi-billion dollar business with a core group of about 50 clients. You don't want to have one or two that own you and 90% of your business is tied up in one account. That's not good. But who are the 50 companies that your marketing is tailored to, that your sales process is tailored to, that your research and development is tailored to, that your everything is tailored to? Who are they and where are they going? And they may have five decision makers in the company. So the point is, who are the 250 people that you are focused on, that your strengths that are important to leverage are aimed at? So if you can't see what your strengths are that you need to leverage, is it time for you to do a survey of 250 people who care? Who gives a darn about your strengths? Who's going to care? And it listen to what they say. It's pretty free research in a time when we need to have something important. There's your key. The show all aims toward interview 250 people about what strengths you need to leverage. My wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. Do it through 250 core prospects and leveraging your strengths. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.